To see myself be the woman and partner I had been working to be felt incredibly empowering because I saw my work. And I think that's really important to acknowledge and see the work you've done.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. I'm kicking off this episode with another My Magnetic story. I've always believed that your job and self-worth were closely related. And when I started to be magnetic choruses, I wrote down exactly what I wanted in a job, right down to the very small yet important details. I then gave notice to the bar I was working at, and the next day I received a check that was 100% unexpected. A few days later, I took a job at a gym doing sales. I worked it for a week and loathed every single second. And then I realized that by taking that job, I had just put an energetic block on the one I actually wanted to come in. So I quit. Everyone around me was genuinely so confused because I was in $2,000 of debt and had no promise for a job anytime soon. But I kid you not, I did not worry. And I'm a worrywart. I just knew on a deeper level that this job was coming to me. 2 weeks later, when I got down to the last $50 in my overdraft, and it seemed like I was going to have to pick up a job at Tim Hortons, Canadian. I got a call back from the job that seemed pretty much like the whole list. I was ecstatic. And on my first day, I learned that it was 100% in every way detail, and in some even better ways than I had imagined, my whole list. In just 1 week, I've made $1,000. I'm happier. My anxiety dissipated. And my faith in the universe, the law of attraction, and life itself returned full force. Thank you, Lacey. Thank you. Thank you, Lacey and TBM. You've helped me rediscover my power, and that's priceless. This is so fun because it really highlights the process well and the magic dark. And of course, I always like to preface and say, you know, if you're going to quit, have a fuck you fund, make sure that you have a bridge job. But sometimes if you're expanded enough, I don't know what this job was that this person ended up manifesting, but it obviously was something that they were expanded enough in. So it was a little jump up than what they had been doing before. And because, yeah, feeling so convicted and really passing those tests and totally following the formula, I really wanted to share that because it didn't feel like something like I'm a lawyer or it's corporate or it's crazy. It's accessible to everybody. So I wanted to share that it's the same formula that works for everybody. And you can find that in the pathway. One trick I want to talk about today, and I think this is such an important one a lot of people have, is that they won't find the partner as good as the partners their expanders have. And here's a newsflash. Anything you want on the physical plane or the energetic plane, exactly how you want it, you can have it. And again, this isn't to be confused with, you know, really forcing the life that you want that you haven't been expanded in yet because it's out of ego. But when you've expanded and you've really extracted those qualities that you love out of the expanders around you, and your soul is really communicating to you what you need, whether you're in a relationship now or you're seeking one or you're transitioning out of one, that soul communication. And what I mean by that is, like, I have it a lot lately. I have where I'm being so pulled to nature and Max is so committed to the city that I'm like, if it doesn't work because my soul needs this, then it doesn't work. And I move on to manifesting the next partner with really open communication around it. And I'm really standing with what I need. And you know, if he can't meet me there or I can't meet him where he's at, we're going to try the whole Topanga thing so that I can be in nature when I am in LA. But I know so well, and I've seen this completely with my clients. It's just, it's the total energetics of how things work. If you're expanded enough, if you do not settle for what your soul needs, you're working through partnership in the pathway, you can have anything that you're witnessing in your own perfect form and way. So yes, that's going to be, maybe that's a little block for you right now if you're listening to this. However, what I do need you to do at this point is you need to go out and seek expanders. Now that you're expanded in the type of relationship you want and you see this like these incredible relationships and these partners that your expanders have, but you still have that block and that doubt that you won't have something as good, you need to go out and find the expanders that found something better than they thought they could have. That can be in movies, it can be word of mouth with other friends and asking people or family or old family friends or social media, but that's your next little thing you need to witness that. And I don't care if it's, you need to really pinpoint too, and the daily reprogramming exercise would be great for this inside the pathway. What are the insecurities that are coming up for you? And really pinpointing still where your shadow is of why you don't think you're worthy enough for those type of people that you're witnessing that are in your expanders relationships, partners. You need to get to the bottom of that. And then you need to go see to believe that you are as deserving as you think you are. And you need to see to believe that people have gone out to get something greater or better or exactly what they want. And then bam, you have the expansion. The next is passing the test, going through the magic dark and connecting with your person. So get to unblocking in the DRE to figure out what's still living down there that makes you think you're not worthy of that. Find those tiny little fragment expanders you still need and just follow the process. A few episodes back, you heard me speaking to founder of Blue Blocks, Andy Mant. And in the episode, I go over how I've healed my hormones through alleviating all non-native EMFs, as well as protecting myself from blue light in the evenings. I'm actually super opposed to talking about products on the podcast, but this is one that I think is completely instrumental, like I said on that podcast episode, especially to my female listeners for their hormone protection. I talk about how I've completely healed my hormones from doing the two things I stated above. And a huge component of that has been using Blue Blocks glasses, the red ones, the red lenses in the evening. So I do that as soon as the sun's setting, I throw them on. And in the day, I wear the yellow lenses that are kind of in the cool 50s retro Ray-Ban frames. And I'll also carry around, which I think are super chic, the clear lenses in my purse at all times. I do the really big aviator ones so that that can also help protect me throughout the day, especially when I'm in front of the computer or I'm in front of, you know, my screen. Otherwise, I'm without fail protected in the evening with the red light protection. Now, for you who are still questioning, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that episode. It's Andy Mant, founder of Blue Blocks. And these are the only blue light glasses that are backed by science that actually work. So that should be really reassuring. And they obviously, as I've suggested, have daytime and nighttime lenses. And what's really cool and actually held me back for a long time and Max is that they do prescription. You shoot them your prescription and they'll make you the prescription or non-prescription and readers, whichever you need. It's free shipping all around the world. And you can even send your own frames that you love of whatever glasses you have, and they'll add their lenses to it too. Again, please to my women listeners, all of my listeners, but especially who are dealing with hormone issues, who are dealing with sleep issues, you will notice a difference immediately from using these. I would suggest even after a couple of days, which is what I noticed. Go ahead and use the code MAGNETIC, that's capital MAGNETIC, for 15% off at checkout. And that's Blue Blocks, BLUBLOX. And you can find those in our show notes below. Go heal your hormones. Today's episode is with one of my very first clients, Amanda Blair. We have a great article on her on the blog called Amanda Blair. I think it was it's an expander article. And I'm going to leave a little bit, there's not much to introduce there because you're going to hear it in the beginning of the episode. She's now a attachment style relationship coach and she really understands this manifestation process. So I highly recommend if you're looking for somebody to work with in the relationship and partnership space, if this resonates with you. I had her on specifically because I do not take clients anymore and she would be a wonderful person to work with on the path to manifesting the partnership you want, or if you are in partnership, becoming the partner you want to be. So enjoy this episode.
Where I was when we met 4 years ago, I was struggling. I was in very low self-worth. I was dating unavailable men who, I shouldn't even say men, I was dating unavailable boys who really were just looking to have fun and sleep with me. And I was very desperate for a relationship. I felt I needed one to feel complete and whole and loved. So I was looking for a lot of external validation inside of relationships. And I was also pretty heavily drinking and partying. So the quality and caliber of people I was meeting were lower than what I was actually wanting. And yeah, that really sums it up. I was just in really low self-worth and making decisions from that place. Not really self-aware. I wasn't able to see my patterns. I just knew that I felt shitty and like I wasn't lovable all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone I was meeting was reflecting that back to me.
And what about what sort of made you stop doing it?
Well, it took a while. Really, it was meeting you and it was doing your work. But I guess what led me to you was just getting tired of that feeling. I think when you get tired of your own bullshit is when change can really start to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really starting to get tired of my bullshit. I was 30, about to be 31. And you know, you hear people say like your 30s are the best, because you stop caring what people think and you know who you are more. And I wasn't feeling that way. I felt like I was still in the confusion and ups and down roller coaster of my 20s. And I really wanted to get on steady, stable ground. And I knew that I couldn't get there myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found you through our friend Desiree. She was writing moon things for the blog, way back then. And so I read a couple posts and then got more into your work. And then you started talking about manifestation. And then like that led me to reach out for an appointment. But I think it was really just getting tired of my bullshit and wanting stability and wanting to find that inside. Because I had sort of realized I can't look for it outside, which is what I had been doing.
Yeah.
My whole life was looking for other people to save me.
And so we watched you go through like a ton of tests together. What would you say were some of those pivotal unblocks that reshaped and shift that for you? Like the actual blocks where you're like, whoa, I just evaporated that. And now a different caliber showing up. It might be just a greater test or...
Yeah. I think definitely the guy that I was first seeing when I met you, having like walking into that fire was pretty big. Because you were kind of coaching me, or not coaching me, but like advising me through that. And you're like, hey, this is what I think, but like run into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, wherein he was breaking up with me and I told him I was in love with him. And he was like, hey, I'm not. And then like got off the phone. But it really sort of showed me that I don't have to continue to do that. And I can create different opportunities for myself and I can make different choices. But I really had to go into the fire to see like, oh, this is what it feels like to get burned and I don't need to continually do that. Whereas I had just been running into the fire without really knowing what I was doing. There was no real process to it, no real structure, and I didn't have any awareness. So the awareness was really helpful. And then I think honestly, the biggest block that I removed that really kind of shifted things and made things turn into like a faster process was when you released your shadow workshop and we did that exercise together.
Mm-hmm.
Where we like pick out the word and then you mirror that back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my word was pathetic, and hearing you say that to me over and over, are you okay?
I'm good. I'm like about to sneeze cough.
Okay. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And you were mirroring that back to me and I felt just all of the things that I've been feeling my whole life, that I was broken and that I was unlovable and there was something wrong with me in that moment when we were mirroring it back. And when that shifted, it was like a huge block just pulled up out. And suddenly I had so much clarity and I started calling in people very close to what I was looking for.
And then tell, because we have a great article on the blog, which is called, I forget what we titled it. It was an expander post, but you can just type in Amanda Blair and you'll read that.
Yeah.
And so in a nutshell, kind of tell us about the moment before you left for your travels, what you manifested in a nutshell, and then we're going to skip up to current day of everything you've been going through.
Yeah. So one of my biggest manifestations was that trip that I went on, which was a 7-month trip around Southeast Asia. And I'd been wanting to do that since I was 18 and never thought that I could. I was definitely in a lack mentality. I thought there was no way I could save money. I didn't think it was possible for me to do it alone. Like I would have to go with a guy. And I will say getting sober, which I also got sober through doing your work because it was such deep spiritual like digging, really allowed that, and like the unblocking that I just talked about kind of helped clear the way for that. But when I was manifesting that trip that, you know, fell into place so beautifully, like I had this woman who I met at a little art fair and she was doing this drawing, this like dream drawing, which you were just like speaking out what you wanted and then she would like draw it out. It was really weird. And I was sharing that I wanted to leave on this trip and she was like, great, we're going to pick a date and you're going to buy a ticket and I'm going to like follow up with you. And I was like, okay. And then just having that her kind of push me forward made me randomly buy a ticket out of nowhere, which I never would have done before. And then I met people that just kind of showed me how they had done it. I started meeting a lot of women that had traveled by themselves who had saved the money. They told me how much they saved. And then I just started asking the universe to help me like put away something every month. And the money just started showing up.
So you jumped off of a cliff. Yeah. Expander started to show up after that. And then of course the portal started to open and flow a little.
Which had never happened before. I mean, it was like a miracle. It was
because of the magnetism of jumping off the cliff. Right. Booking that ticket.
Right. It was so cool and so miraculous. And I saved a lot of money. I had like had a little bit and then a lot just came through within a very short amount of time. And I didn't make a ton of money at the time. So it was really, my friends were like, how are you doing this? And I was like, I don't know. I just am. And then right before I left, I was still calling in a partner and I met this guy who seemed like my full list. He was British. He had red hair, like the whole thing. And he, on our second date, told me that he was a month out of a year or a 2-year relationship, but was like, but I've been over it for a long time. It was meant to end for a long time. I like am so ready. And I was like, okay, great. So we kept going. And he told me, I think it had been like 3 weeks that he saw us getting married and he saw us having babies.
Such a red flag.
Huge red flag, right? Like just the biggest red flag ever. Now looking back, I'm like, oh my God. And also the just got out of a relationship. Like, hi, hello.
Totally.
But he was coming on so strong.
Yeah.
And I still had that mentality of, there is a one. Mm-hmm. I still need to be saved. And so it felt like this is my Prince Charming, you know? And I was still planning on going for the trip, but he was really supportive of that. Anyway, I had gone to Spain and come back and we saw each other that night when I got back and we did not have sex, but we hooked up for the first time. And after that, he was just ghosted.
Yeah. Totally.
And it was done.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'm actually not ready. And I was like, okay. So I was obviously really hurt, but it put me in this.
So just to clarify for everybody listening, she was calling in like a very specific list. And that's what when the tests get very big, I call them like the big shiny carrots.
Oh yeah.
They match your entire list.
Yeah.
But there's some red flags you really have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And that was totally a shiny.
Totally.
Shiny
carrot. And I missed it. And I knew like the second date when he said, oh, I just got out of a relationship. Everything in my body was like, hi, red flag, he's not ready.
Yeah.
Like your voice was in there like, he's not ready.
It's and I
was
like, always accurate too. You can always listen or run into the fire like you did.
I did.
And you learn.
And I learned, and I did, I felt like I got burned. And I also got to the point where I was like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, can I swear?
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm such a problem okay. on the whole. I mean, I was raised by my mom. I can't help it. It's yeah. awful.
So okay, I have a potty mouth. But
I'm thinking of having her on the podcast for a Mother's Day episode.
You should.
I know.
I would love to know more about your mom.
I know.
Because like, hi.
Yeah.
She brought you into this world and we're so grateful.
Oh, thank you.
So it would be cool to like learn more about Mama Lacey.
Yeah. And she's sober. Like, I think it's 45 days now.
That's
she's
incredible.
Out of treatment.
And yeah. to talk more about that. I mean, I sobriety is... It's such a huge journey. And
for
it's
you.
So, yeah. I mean, it's such a huge part of my journey.
Totally.
But I'm really grateful for that experience because I got burned. And I got burned to the point where I was really like, never again will mm-hmm. I do this. Like, mm-hmm. It broke me out of that spell of wanting to be saved, wanting Prince Charming, thinking that there was like a one, quote unquote, and just putting someone above myself. And I just got fed up. I was like, I'm done. I'm done looking. I feel really good about my life. I'm about to go take off on this trip and I'm just going to focus on me. And I was also terrified to leave because I was like, I'm leaving New York and I'm just leaving a job that I love. But I went and 2 weeks into the trip, I had a ping to... I was in Siem Reap in Vietnam.
Talk about how your pings come through. I love to clarify this for people because they're always like, what's a ping and what isn't?
Okay, so for me, they're like a nudge.
Okay.
That it feels like there's something inside me that like pushes my stomach to the side.
Ah, that's... Mine's like shivers down my spine and I can smell a person or...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, everybody has their different...
That's so interesting. Yeah, so it feels like a little push in my stomach, like to the side, like a nudge. Like a best friend is like tapping me like, hey, pay attention right here. So I was in Cambodia, Siem Reap. And I had stayed in this one hostel and I had only planned to be there for 2 days to see the temples and then leave. But I really liked it. And I was like, I want to stay. So I decided to stay. And then I wanted to switch hostels because the one I was at was kind of weird. And so I was going to stay at this one... They're like these monkey hostels that I had been in another area in Cambodia. And there's like more people there. So I thought it'd be fun. And so I was going to stay there, but I just kept feeling this ping to stay at this one particular hostel that I'd walk by. And I was like, no, like why? Who cares? Mm-hmm. And finally, it was just so loud. I had to listen. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, I will stay there. Jeez. And it really did feel like I was like having to like communicate back to this ping. Like, I don't get why you're pushing me to do this, but sure, we'll do it. And the next morning when I was walking over to the hostel, I met Guy, mm-hmm. who ended up being my partner for the next 7 months and was the exact relationship that I was calling in.
Like down to red hair.
Yeah. And like a beard. And he is Australian, but half British. Mm-hmm. And so like he lived in London, and I like love British guys. And it was just so beautiful and such a gift. And what's funny is on my list, I put, wants a relationship, wants a family, but I didn't specify the timeline. Mm-hmm. And he wanted a relationship and he wants a family, but he was younger than me. So his timeline was much different. Mm-hmm. So when we parted ways, because he lives in Australia and I live in New York, I now have learned to be like, wants a relationship now, mm-hmm. like something serious and long-term and like wants kids in like this many years.
Yeah.
Because the timeline I realized is so important.
Completely.
Because I was like, well, the universe gave me exactly what I wanted.
Completely.
I wasn't being specific enough.
Though. I love that.
Yeah. So that was a huge lesson. But that relationship was so beautiful because it allowed me to show up in the way that I had been working towards, to be the partner that I had wanted to be the woman I wanted to be, which was really beautiful for me to see my own growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, the person that came to see you, you know, 3 years ago and like the person I showed up to in that relationship were worlds apart.
And I want to talk about that for just a minute for anybody listening. Like when Amanda first showed up, I love it. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but in her first session, she was like in the car with a friend. You know, a friend was driving. She's like, this is what I want. This is what's going on. Everyone hates me at my work. Like just so. And then I'd be like, okay, do this work and this work. Wouldn't do any of it. Such an Aries. And then finally, after that heartbreak you kind of talked about where you said, I love you, you got pretty burned and you're like, why? Why does this keep happening? I'm like, because you're not fucking doing any work. Nothing's mm-hmm. changing. It's the same.
So
there's no spiritual bypass. And then you really started. So I just want to tell people, like, even if you're getting the pathway and you're like, oh, it just sits there. I don't do it. I can't get through Reparent. That's the beauty that it's a subscription. In about 6 months or 2 months or a month, when something really hits you or rock bottoms you, it's waiting for you.
Yeah, totally.
And you can start then. Don't beat yourself up. It's fine. But yeah, the work really does start to shift. I mean, there's three components to manifestation. You unblock your subconscious, you expand, and you pass test. It's that simple.
So true. I mean, and that really was the case. And you know, I didn't do the work for like a minute.
Like a year almost, I think.
I mean, I would do little things here and there because at the time you didn't have the workshops out, but you were giving them out just, you were like doing the workshops essentially just one-on-one, but in different components.
Totally.
Like I had so many, you gave me so many meditations to do and like the pre-DIs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do them sporadically, but it was so hard to discipline myself to get that uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's hard.
Because it was so uncomfortable to look at my shadow. And that's actually that's something really shifted through the work that really helped me was I was so terrified of looking at my shadow because I was scared it would tell me that I was all the things I feared.
Yeah.
That I was broken, that I was unlovable, that I was fucked up, that I was messy and I would never amount to anything. Mm-hmm. And what was beautiful is once I looked at my shadow, I realized how untrue all those things
Isn't
were.
Isn't that the best you shine light? And it's like, now you have no power over me.
And I was like, oh, there's just a tiny little five-year-old in here who just wants love and is calling out and that's it.
That's it.
And there's nothing to be terrified of.
Totally.
And that was so freeing to no longer be scared of myself.
Yeah, like, I love that.
That was huge.
For anybody going through that right now. Yeah, that's
normal. Because I hear that from people are like kind of can read it in the Facebook group, like in, you know, the undertone of what they're saying. And it's like, you're terrified to look at yourself, but you are not scary.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't scary. I wasn't broken.
Even the hardest trauma, which of course, like have a support system, have a therapist while you're doing this work. I love to say, have that support with you. But when we really look at the hardest trauma even and we take the power out of it, we become free.
Yeah.
That's where the real healing is we've got to look and we've got to, you know, process and deal so that we have our power back.
Right.
That's it. And it can feel so hard.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the easier it gets. And the more you realize everybody has it.
Yes.
Everybody has their version of it.
And we're all struggling with it.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. Every human, animal, everything. Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, that was helpful too. Because it was easy for me to look at you because we were working one-on-one and do the thing of comparison and well, but she has like X, Y, Z, but you were always so open with me to be like, no, I've been through X, Y, Z. I've done this. This is what I used to feel. And this is the work I did to get out of there.
Totally.
And it really helped me see, well, if you can do it, I can do it.
Totally, yeah.
And if this person who I admire and who I think, you know, is so beautiful and is like so successful and has all these shiny things.
Thank you.
Thank you. But it's true that if you have things, if you, then everyone has to.
Anybody can.
Right.
Like I come from nothing.
Right.
I was the biggest doormat.
Right.
I worked as a waitress forever.
Right.
I was the lowest self-worth person.
Yeah.
Like anybody, no matter your background, you know, your trauma, your family, like any socioeconomic, anything, you can have anything you want. I've seen it with every type of human on the planet.
It really equalizes humanity.
Totally.
Because there is no higher or lower.
No.
You know,
really
like there is no like step. It's just we're all kind of on that same playing field. There's people that are a steps ahead of you.
Totally.
But, you know, we're all on that like kind of journey, which is really beautiful.
Or I have been raised in oppression and circumstances. But honestly,
right.
We really get to recreate the structure of belief system we've been handed, regardless of what we've been given. That's the freedom we have, is we get to fully recreate it and we get to go expand out of it and we get to pass tests regardless of where we are. You know, there's always an up.
Right.
So.
Well, and you showed me that too. Because, you know, I have my own like childhood traumas and you really showed me that that was unfortunate they happened then, but I'm an adult now and I can now take control of that. Like I couldn't control it when I was a kid, but now I can take control of it and create a different story for myself. I don't have to continue to live in that trauma.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think when we have trauma and then we go into adulthood with it and we carry it with us and we're victims to it. We're totally. Recreating that trauma every day.
All day. We're just manifesting it over right. and over.
And we're abandoning our little inner child that's mm-hmm. just asking for love and for us to show up. And we have the opportunity to do that now. Yeah. It's just becoming, it's creating the space, creating the awareness to see that. And to see it clearly.
I think we hit the head, we hit the nail on the head last night too. I'll paraphrase, but it's like the only way to your manifestation is taking full accountability that everything going on in your life right now is something you've created.
Oh yeah.
And that you're continuing to perpetuate. Yeah. That's the only way.
I'm learning this hugely right now.
Oh yeah. So let's fast forward through Guy. Guy was an incredible healer.
Such a gift. Such a healer.
Such a gift. And he really helped heal you into like who I met originally, who, you know, and we'll get into the attachments and all of that stuff. Mm. He gave you your power back. Mm. He didn't, but that relationship was so incredibly healing.
It did. I mean, I would wake up every morning and just say, thank you, universe, for this gift. It felt like a gift in a bow wrapped up every day because he was just so available to love me and support me, fully saw me, the bad and the good. I mean, we traveled together every day for 7 months. He saw me at my worst and at my best. And just was there. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like. Cool. I won't settle for anything less than this. Yeah. You know, that's such a gift. And to see myself be the woman and partner I had been working to be.
Yeah.
To see that come into fruition felt incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
Because I saw my work. And I think that's really important to acknowledge and see the work you've done.
Oh, yeah. And look
then
back.
Because then it gives you ammunition to keep going.
And when you get into a low point, you can be like, I was here before and this is how I got out of it.
Yes.
It gives you
that's
like
so important.
Frame of reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fast forwarding to now, I think this is really exciting for the process. And then we're going to get into the work you've been doing. And I think there's no way, because your work is picking up so much right now, there's no way for it to find the ultimate level of success without you having gone through what you've been going through recently,
so
which is going to be very, I think, expanding for people and really outlines this whole process. So let's even just take it back to the test. You knew a test was coming through and then kind of that series.
Okay. So when I got back from traveling in May 2018, and I was in California and I had no desire to date, to be out there, to like flirt, anything. I just really took a lot of time to be with myself, which felt so good. It was the first time in my life I wasn't searching and or desperate for a relationship, which I took advantage of to just sort of sink into that feeling, do more work on myself, and just enjoy. And so in November, like October, November, I get a lot of communication with universe through my dreams. Mm-hmm. And so I started getting communication that I was ready to start dating.
Can we pause for a second and tell us how that happens for you, for the person who also experiences that and can refine that more?
Yeah. So it will show up differently. But for me, it started showing up with just my sexual desire woke up again. Mm-hmm. It had been totally hibernating. I just had no sexual desire from May until October, like late October. And it was, I had a dream about an ex, like the one that we've talked about 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But the way that it was there, because he was such a standard of a kind of man that I want. And just the way that dream went down, and I don't remember it exactly, I was like, oh, this is my subconscious telling me that I'm ready to start getting out there, but to keep the standard, like this is still what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And then I had another dream and it was about Guy, but it wasn't like he wasn't my partner, but he was like ushering me forward into a new relationship.
Mm, beautiful.
And then I had like another one. It was just about like finding someone attractive. So it was just like things were starting to awaken.
How can you decipher between, like my mom's very clear when she has a dream that's like foretelling.
Yeah.
It's a very different feeling than just dreaming.
Oh, because it's very clear.
Oh, okay.
I wake up and I remember exactly what happened. I remember exactly how I felt. And it's just sort of this intuitive knowing. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly just the clarity I experience. Like when I wake up from a dream, mostly it's fuzzy and I'll like remember sort of some details, but when I wake up from a dream telling me something, I remember everything. Mm-hmm. Like I remember I went to this house and I saw this person and this is what they said. And then I felt this and then I said this. So it's the clarity shows me that something else is happening.
Great. So other people who receive that type of clair, you know, clair, whatever it is, it's all, right. We have all these clairs.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. So that's what it is. And then so I was like, okay, perhaps I'm ready to start getting out there. And so I did. And the protocol that I always use with clients is to start online dating just to practice. I think online dating can be such a fantastic place to practice boundaries, mm-hmm. and saying no and flirting.
Passing
and
tests.
Yeah, passing tests. So many passing tests. So good for that. And so I was doing that and it was really easy. I was feeling so empowered. I was just like, got this. No. I know what I want. Mm-hmm. I like redid my list. So feeling super clear. I was specific about the relationship thing. I was like, wants relationship now, wants a kid in under 5 years, or wants kids in under 5 years. So I was like getting really specific. And this is important for later. I was inspired by Lila, who was doing like on her list had like wanted to date someone famous.
Yeah.
So I put on my list is really well known in their field. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want a celebrity necessarily, yeah. but just someone well known. So anyway, dating, that's feeling good. And then I had two more dreams. But in these dreams, I was with my partner. Mm. And the way that I knew that is just because the feeling that I had with them, it was the feeling that I had with Guy. It was just so loving.
Effortless.
Yeah. Just so, yeah, so much ease. We were so happy. We were so like laughing and just comfortable. And it was like so cozy. And they were back-to-back dreams. And I was like, oof, my partner's close. Mm-hmm. And then I was journaling and I just was like, my partner's really close. I feel him, but I'm going to have a big test come through, mm-hmm. and it's going to be really hard to pass. And I was kind of like, but I got it. Like, mm-hmm. I can do this, whatever.
Yeah, problem. I get this.
Yeah. And then I did meet someone through online dating who wanted to get sexual really quickly over text because I was in California at the time. It was over the holidays. He was in New York. And I considered it. I was like, maybe I should just have a fling. You're like, you know, I'm an adult woman. I'm empowered. Who cares? And I considered it for a moment and then realized that's not what you want.
Totally.
We're not doing this again. Mm-hmm. No. And so I set a boundary and he didn't respect it. So I let him go. And I was like, that was my test.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. That was a hard test. So, man, I passed it so easily.
I really want people tuning in to listen to this series of events because it outlines this process so well. And I do believe you're very, very close to manifesting your person as of the next, you know, this phase. I don't believe in the one, but I believe the one can be the one for a long time as long as you continue to grow together.
Yeah,
you know,
I believe that too now.
So I just want you to pay attention because even in the Formula Magnetism workshop, anybody who's done it or is in it now, the tests get shinier and shinier and so much harder to read and pass, especially the closer you're getting to what you want.
Yeah.
So that was the first test. Yeah.
So that was the first test. And it was like a micro test now looking back. And it was like in a way of me seeing red flags and the consideration of like, well, maybe I'll just make this work for me in a specific way, even though I know I don't want a relationship with this person. And I considered that. And mm-hmm. that test was like, why are you even considering that?
Yeah.
You know? And I quickly was like, yeah, what am I doing? No. So then about 3 weeks later, I meet another guy online and he asked me out in like a really assertive way. Like we didn't even talk. He was just like, hey, let's grab coffee. I think that's the best way to get to know each other. And I was like, okay. And so we go to coffee and he is just, he's the full thing. Like the shiniest carrot I've ever seen in my life. So on my list, I want someone who's creative. He's a drummer. He's very well known in the music industry. Like, you know, was drummer of the year in like some magazine and like works for all these brands, tours around the world. He is an art director or a music director at an art gallery in Brooklyn, like doing all the things, very successful. Mm-hmm. And then also has this, so he's like edgy, but then has this spirituality component. He was like going to therapy after we first met up. He went to the Hoffman Institute. He was talking to me about astrology, like all of these things. We were talking about human design, like all of these things, very shiny, close to this family, wants a family. he didn't tell me a timeline, but he was like, you know, I know that I want that, wants long-term commitment, all the things. So I was just like, oh my gosh, like I passed the test and here it is. Ah, yay. And then on the second date, as it happens with me always, we were getting into his car because we had been at lunch and he was taking me back home. And I looked down at his coffee cup holder and he has rose quartz in there. And I was like, you have rose quartz in your coffee cup holder? You're perfect for me. What is your flaw? And we're kind of joking around and I pick it up again and I'm like, man, are you just really looking for love? And he very seriously looked at me and was like, I'm not looking for love. And I was like, heart drop. Okay, well, this must be your flaw. And so he told me that he was a year and a half out of an 8-year relationship. And while he wasn't looking to quote unquote jump into anything, he wasn't closed. And I was like, okay. But it was just ambiguous language for the 4 dates that we went on. At one point he was like, no, I like you. I want to date you. But then his actions just didn't align with that. And I was so confused because on one hand he was being very open and like saying that he wanted me to communicate with him and he liked me and saying these things. But then on the other hand, he wasn't showing up in the way that I know how it feels when someone mm-hmm. likes me and wants a relationship with me. So mm-hmm. I was really like, I don't know what to do. Even though I did, I knew. I was like, there's red flags here. Mm-hmm. You have to walk away. Mm-hmm. But it was so shiny. Mm-hmm. I did not want to. Because I was like, he's literally everything but this one thing. Yeah. And like, no. But
emotionally unavailable.
Yeah. But so emotionally unavailable. And so I had to reach out to you because I was like, yeah. I know Lacey will tell me the truth. And I know, and I didn't reach out before because I was like, I'm not ready to say no.
To hear it.
Yeah. And then once I did, I was like, God damn it. She's mm-hmm. right. And so I had to walk away. And it was the hardest thing. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the hardest test I've ever had to pass. It truly brought me to my knees, which I know if you're listening, that sounds nuts because it was 4 dates, but it was incredibly difficult to meet someone who seemed so aligned with what I wanted, minus the one thing.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital JOURNEY, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with a formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through, if you're calling in a career, opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in. And of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting. And it gives you access to all of the unblock villages that are meeting up around the world. So you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood. And you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
Let's talk about why you're so triggered, why somebody listening's like, hey, crazy. But No, it's actually a thing.
So, yeah, it's actually a thing. So this is the beautiful thing that has come out of this. I feel like that experience, that test, really just peeled back another onion layer, to mm-hmm. use your analogy, of myself. And I got to see my wounds and the things that trigger me on a much deeper level. And I had heard of attachment theory in the background. I'm a psychology nerd. So like it had mm-hmm. been, you know, something kind of in my peripheral, but I had never really explored it. But through this experience, I felt myself kind of feeling old patterns that I hadn't felt in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it was really disarming. Mm-hmm. And because of the work that I've done through your work, I've reached homeostasis where I feel really good. I feel empowered. I have self-worth. I can walk away from things that don't feel good to me. Like I've had a healthy relationship. So to go back to feeling obsessive right away, to go back to feeling low self-worth, to go back to feeling putting someone on a pedestal and me underneath him, and then I'm not good enough for him. The constant worrying if I was going to hear from him or not. The letting go of my boundaries. I did not sleep with him, but I was letting him do other things, not like physically, but just treating me in ways that I don't
like
allow.
Last minute dates.
Yes, things last like minute that. Dates. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like not really following up and like things like that. And I was, what is happening? And because I had had space away from those behaviors and I had created new ones, it allowed me to see them much more clearly. And so I started researching attachment theory and was like, holy shit, this explains my whole life. This explains like my whole dating history.
They're really, they're very, huge. Very powerful and helpful.
Yeah, like yeah. I am an anxious attachment to a T. Mm-hmm. And
I'm a textbook avoidant.
Yeah, and when you get activated is what they call it. When your attachment gets activated, what happens for the anxious attachment, I mean, literally like to a T, everything that was going on was what this textbook was describing is what happens. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh. So for an anxious attachment person, when we are activated, and we are activated by someone who is emotionally unavailable mm-hmm. because that's how our caregiver was when we were a child. So it brings us back to recreate that situation to find healing. Mm-hmm. But typically we don't heal from it. We just
continue
the cycle. And also that means our brain, like in our brain chemistry, we have a surplus of dopamine. And dopamine often gets sort of described as the happiness neurotransmitter, but it's not. It's what makes us seek like food, sex.
Oh yeah, addiction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the addiction.
Stimulation.
Yes, yeah. Totally. So that's what keeps that obsession going, that like reaching out. And I felt that. I felt a compulsion to reach out to him. And even though logically I was like, I don't want to talk to this person. Mm-hmm. Also, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
But I couldn't control that other side of me. And it was so fascinating to watch it happen. And it feels so painful. One, because you're tapping back into the pain that you felt in your childhood that yeah. you couldn't experience when you were five yeah. because you wouldn't have survived it.
No, totally.
And then suddenly, you know, as a 33-year-old who's sober, I have a lot of capacity to feel that now. But also, when you have a surplus of dopamine, it lowers your serotonin and you can't raise your serotonin. So you literally cannot feel good. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it just like keeps you in that cycle. But luckily, because I've done all this work, and because I was researching it and now able to see this isn't me, this isn't my truth, this is my attachment theory that was created when I was like 0 to 7.
It's just the constant thing we all deal with. It's
right.
the childhood wound.
Exactly.
And the
yeah.
universe yeah. was like, you really want this type of yeah. relationship? Well, I'm going to mirror exactly right. what you need to fucking work on to be whole enough for exactly,
exactly
what you're calling it.
Exactly. It was, I mean, it's what you talk about, like growing your container.
Totally.
Like my nervous system freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, I really need to strengthen my nervous system
mm-hmm.
because now through the research I'm doing with attachment theory and, you know, like you say in the rock bottom workshop, I'm becoming an expert on it
yeah.
because it's what's giving me the most healing.
Totally.
Is now when I encounter a situation like that with someone emotionally available, I have the wherewithal to be like, no,
mm-hmm.
because I know now what that leads to. I know it does not lead to what I want. And that little 5-year-old inside me cannot come out and make those decisions anymore,
mm-hmm.
where she completely was mm-hmm. before. I mean, I wasn't 33-year-old me. I was 5-year-old me.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And that, you know, doesn't work out when you're actually an adult. You can't like let your inner child make a decision. So,
which we mostly are running on autopilot doing
totally,
for the most part.
100%. And I mean, that was literally my entire dating career
mm-hmm.
was just being ruled by like this younger version of me. So it was so beautiful for that because I was able to see such clarity on my wounds in a way that I had never had before. And really understand them, understand where they come from, understand the way it affects my brain chemistry, and then a way that then affects my actions, and the way that it will feel when I detox from that mm-hmm. experience. And it's very painful to
so
go through
painful.
Withdrawal.
Yeah.
Like so painful, so uncomfortable. And it's why people don't, right?
Totally.
It's why they continue to reach out. It's why they continue to run into the fire. And I will, full disclosure, I did put my hand into the fire. I didn't fully run in because I had broken off with him. Because I realized you're emotionally unavailable and that's not what I want. So I'm going to walk away. And he asked to be my friend.
Need to talk about this for a minute. I think we have a blog post coming up on this. I am so huge when I work with people. Everyone's like, we're just going to be friends after. I'm like, dude, energetically, that's 100% not okay if you're wanting to manifest something different. If you're needing to run into the fire and learn lessons, great. But here's why you can't just be friends with your recent breakup. Here's exactly why energetically in manifestation. Until both of you fall in love with somebody else, your energetic cord is still attached to them.
100%.
So it's like there's no possibility or room for what the concept of friendship means.
Yeah.
So do not do that. When you break up with somebody, do not say yes when they're like, I just want to be friends. Please don't. It's all you're doing is blocking your manifestations. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yes. And I 100% agree. And I would say that to other people.
Yeah.
But in this situation, when I was like, okay, like you're not ready. So sorry, like I just can't do this. He was like, okay, but I would really like to be your friend. And I said, okay. And I didn't want to be his friend. I mean, truly. No. What I was doing, it was my brain chemistry was like, cool, that's dopamine. We're going to continue to seek what we want through this open window now. Yeah. Right? Like we have shut the door, but now he's opening a window. We're going to like try to go through there. So I reached out a week later under the guise of friendship to go to this talk that we had talked about together when we were on a date. And I was like, hey, do you want to go with me? I think it'd be like a good friendly activity. And so he said, no, this week I have a studio session, but I would love to go with you next week. I was like, cool. I didn't hear from him again. So I let it go. I was like, he's clearly not going to show up. Like, he doesn't actually want to be my friend. Also, why was I even thinking that we could be friends? This is stupid. Like,
Clarify for people too, you guys can be friends once both of you have moved on and your heart's gone somewhere else. Then you're totally, you can be friends, no problem. But it has to wait until then.
But like, certainly wasn't there at that moment.
Yeah.
So the next week rolls around, I go to the talk and at the end, I see him there and I get very excited. I'm like, woohoo, he came. Like maybe I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Perhaps I should tell him that we should just keep seeing each other. Yay. So I walk over to him and I'm like, hey, you came. And he gives me a hug and I'm like, so what are you doing after? And he goes, well, I brought my friend Anna and we're going to go to dinner and then I'm going to a show. And what are you doing? And I was in shock that he brought a fucking date to the thing I invited him to. But I was just stared at him with a blank face and was like, nothing. And he was like, cool, okay, see you later. And then walked away. And I was like, what TV show am I on? So that really was, I feel like the universe was just like, it's a hard no.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you the cold, hard truth of like, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Trust yourself and walk away.
And I want to highlight a couple of things because I know Amanda's story right now for other people in these situations during their process is that when you walk away, and so Amanda, she's magnetic at this point. She's walked away. She didn't sleep with him.
Nope.
So hard to let it go instead of continuing to run into the fire, but peels herself away even with the crazy, you know, trauma attachment, bonding of attachment style. And so with that, what starts to come through right away? Because the universe, I like to tell everybody, always likes to throw you a bone as soon as you walk away from things that don't serve you.
Yeah.
You know, you're instantly magnetic. It's that instant magnetism.
Right.
What?
Well, I will say I also got another rock bottom immediately after.
Yes. This is awesome.
Yeah. Too. So now I think this is a really beautiful thing. And the two like feel very coinciding. But I had called in I've been calling in an apartment, my own apartment for the 4 years since, you know, I had met you. And it wasn't coming in. And then finally in December, I found it. I was looking for a studio in Greenpoint at a certain price point. And I found a one bedroom for what I wanted to pay. It was $1,600, but I only wanted to pay $1,000, but I knew the landlords and they were going to let me babysit for the extra $600. It was like four nights a week. And I was like, oh my God. And it's a one bedroom and it's in Greenpoint and there's a washer and dryer. Ah, amazing. And literally a week after this thing, that thing happened with the guy, the pipes burst in the apartment and sewage flooded and they had to basically like rip out the front walkway and the house was uninhabitable and they told me I couldn't move in and they broke my lease.
Mm-hmm.
And I was moving and I was supposed to move in like 2 weeks. And I was like,
So I want to make a note of this. So Amanda's been up leveling. She's like been doing the work. She's been on a real, like really following her pings and really doing things strongly. And something really important to note is in this relationship, she would have been settling because he was emotionally unavailable. Yeah. And in this home that she manifested, she would have been settling because she was like babysitting, but it's not clear, you know. Right. And so
I was not my power about it at all.
Yeah. And obviously the universe, this, I just really want to nail this process for people listening. If you're in it, you will be in it at some point. If you're not, you know, that what's going on here, she's been asking for a couple of things that are pretty great, but her self-worth hasn't fully aligned with those. But the universe really has those emotion for her. So it's rock bottoming her quick because that things, those things are getting pretty ready. Home and relationship are very close.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, sister, you're not doing this quick enough and this is ready for you. So we need to smack you into this to learn quickly. And so that's why she's gone through these rock bottoms, which is what tells me that it's very, very close.
The apartment thing, I now can see. I mean, it was such a blessing. I always say rejection is protection. So it's like that didn't work out because something better is coming and it's saving me from drama and grief that would have, I would have.
It's a different pattern that you would have gotten back into.
Exactly.
Of like, I'm serving someone to be in this apartment.
I would have been playing very small. I would have been accepting charity. Because I still didn't think I was worthy enough of doing it and powerful enough to do it on my own. Completely. I was still looking for someone else to save me.
Yeah, like a lack mentality in both capacities.
In
like
both.
I'm not worthy of somebody who's fully emotionally available and has the whole package.
Right.
And I'm not worthy of the apartment all the way that I can pay it and do it.
100%. So that was obviously in the moment felt very terrifying, but I know enough now and I've been through enough with this work that I was like, I surrender. Universe, show me. Like, I know you got something good. So like, I'm here. I'm doubling down on the work. I immediately started rock bottom and was just like, okay, like I'm going to show up. And I've had so many people reach out and say, I have this sublet. I have this thing that I know about and everything has been like kind of, but I'm like, nope, 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 nope,
good
nope,
job.
Nope. So
good
I'm
job.
Saying no to a shit ton of stuff. Also, I'm getting a lot of little manifestations coming through.
Totally, always in both of these situations. It's always the case. And one thing I really want to clarify too for the person who's like, I think we have a YouTube video on it that's called like, why aren't my manifestations sticking? Mm. And so when these quote unquote manifestations come through, which in your case were tests, both came through and you weren't saying no entirely to them. So you had to live
The apartment, that was a test that I was like,
100%. You're like, whatever, my manifestation. Okay. It was the shiny carrot, you know, same thing.
Oh, it was a very shiny carrot.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing I really want people to note, and I talk about this all the time, not only were they tests, but they were massive expanders for her.
Oh, 100%.
Now she knows that this guy exists in New York and it's possible, even
edgy
though.
Edgy and spiritual.
Yeah, edgy, spiritual, successful, all the things she wants, that it's totally possible. And she's done enough work to realize he just wasn't the person.
Right.
But now because of Guy's expansion, that relationship you were in, you know that all of it combined, you're expanded enough now to see that this person exists.
Right. And that I'm worthy of it.
And that you're worthy of it.
And I deserve it.
Yeah.
I feel very deserving of that now.
Great. And that's what these rock bottoms do to strengthen our nervous system.
Yeah.
And you had a great question last night where you're like, how do I strengthen my nervous system?
Yes.
And when I'm talking about it, it's very different than, you know, like Kundalini with the 10 bodies. And it's very different than, you know, like herbs of strengthening. We're actually strengthening our energetic container is what I mean by that. It's just what I use for lack of better terminology around energetics.
Because mine wasn't totally strong because I wasn't able to just see it and go, nope.
Yeah. And so all that's happening, like I told Amanda, I'm like, you don't really have to do a ton of work. You know, that's what that DI inside of up levels are for, the different variations of them. But you're being forced into a stronger nervous system, whether you like it or not. Meaning where you were playing small is no longer going to work. And that's why you were hit so hard with both things. And now it's like, oh, what you just said it so clearly. I now feel very deserving of those things.
Yeah.
Where subconsciously you weren't feeling that before.
No, not even close.
Totally. No. Now continue. Sorry.
No. I mean, that's such an important point. So I have a lot of little manifestations coming through. And I also just want to say, like, to the apartment note, I looked on Craigslist the minute after it happened, but I was looking at rooms, like a room for rent, and I found four that seemed like doable. And I reached out to the four of them And at first they were like, yeah, okay, like come meet me. And then they all said no or pulled out or were like, actually the room's not available, one after the other. And I was like, okay, universe is telling me to stop.
Yeah.
And so I'm really just in this pattern of I'm not being told to go look. Mm-hmm. I'm a projector. Mm-hmm. And so I really do feel that something will come to me and or I'll get a ping to go somewhere, look somewhere. And so I'm really listening to that. And so I'm very careful about who I tell that to as well, because people are very like...
Manifestation boundaries. You have to have them because they're like, what are you talking about?
So you're just going to be homeless?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally.
But I know enough about the process. And I really... This is... All this has done is strengthen my trust muscle. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen enough not work out in the moment to see something else better work later. So the example that I gave of the guy that I met right before traveling, you know, that didn't work out. I met guy and I was like, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Always.
That didn't work out because this was waiting for me. And like universe, I will never not believe you again. Mm-hmm. Like I trust you fully mm-hmm. because you gave me something so much more beautiful and exactly what I needed. So even in this moment, I'm like, this feels uncomfortable.
You're in a...
What?
You're in a...
I'm a rock bot and a magic arc.
You're in a major magic arc.
Major. Sure.
And you're doing it perfectly. You're listening to the invitation, honestly.
Yeah, I'm able to really listen and trust that and not get caught up in the outside world of like, well, but you should be doing like mm-hmm. XYZ. Are you like looking around like crazy? And it's like, nope, because I know that I don't have to do that.
Isn't
and
that
I
great?
Really trust the process, which mm-hmm. feels really powerful, to be honest. And it is terrifying. I'm not like, la, 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 la. I'm in like, okay.
After a couple more of these, you will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it feels like an exhilarating kind of terrifying. Like I'm just genuinely excited to see what's coming. I'm like, what's going on? But what's also beautiful is I have manifested a lot of community through Magnetic Village meetups.
Yeah. Tell us about where you guys go. Because anybody who's in New York, Amanda has a great one going right now with like totally different types of people mm-hmm. and energy. It looks amazing.
They've been such a godsend. So I usually do them. I've done one in Fort Greene because just to like everyone that was coming to it was we were like in between Greenpoint and Fort Greene. So it just like seemed like a easy place to go. And then, but mostly I do them in Greenpoint and I do them at this place called Anima Mundi, which is like a little herbal place. They have an herbal line and then they created this cafe. It's like with tonics. It's so beautiful.
Totally.
And it's this really like little haven in Greenpoint. And I always post about it in the Facebook group. And the women that have shown up have just blown me away. Mm-hmm. And I've met like two really good, like becoming best friends women through these groups. And so when all this stuff was happening, they were like, you know, we hear you and this is disappointing, but also we're so excited.
That's
for
how
you.
It feels. Yeah. Yeah. See, they get it.
They
That's
get
why
it. And
it's so important to have manifestation communities.
Yeah.
So listen, guys, go to your villages because, like you're saying, you're like, I have to be very careful about who these people get it.
Yeah,
they get
you. It.
They get where you're at. They're like minded.
So they're like, oh, yeah, listen. Yes, you're waiting. Great. Good for you.
Yeah.
Like, you're listening to your pings. Cool. Like, not pings coming through.
Awesome.
You're in the magic dark. Like, oh, that's exciting. What's going to come through? We can't wait to see what's happening.
So
it's
exciting.
Very affirming to be now surrounded with women who speak this language, who do this work, and who can support me in this work. Because before, I was still doing it, but it was just kind of, I was literally telling everyone under the moon, like, are you doing this work? Have you heard of Lacey Phillips? You should do it. But I didn't have anyone doing it with me.
Yeah, it's so much better.
It was very isolating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now it feels more powerful to have a community.
Totally.
Because then there's just a lot more support and there's a lot more people I can talk to who won't look at me like, huh? What? Manifesting.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Totally.
Expanders? So that's been really beautiful and lovely. And then a lot of little things have been coming in because you told me after I walked away from that guy to write down like small things that I'm trying to call in. And so I manifested a weekly dinner group, dinner party group, which has been so incredible. And then I also manifested, this is the most exciting thing, a higher dose sauna wrap.
Yay!
For free. Just want to point that out for free. And it's so incredible. So a lot of like little things. mm-hmm. are coming in, which yeah. is really cool.
That's what I always say. The universe starts to throw you bones. Like, hey, don't give up.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
job.
Yeah.
Good job. Your thing's on its way. It's orbiting. Yeah. So,
oh, and then when the new apartment fell through, I was going to have to be out of my apartment on March 1st. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just like live on my friends' couches. I mean, I can do it. Not what I want to do. And I didn't freak out. I was just like, cool. I felt my feelings. I was sad that day. I let myself cry. I let myself feel heartbroken. And then the next day I was like, universe, I surrender. I know you have me. Like, show me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to control this. Like, show me where I'm going, because I clearly don't know.
Yeah.
And you do. And that Sunday, so I found out on a Thursday. So that Sunday, my apartment told me that they pushed back the move-in date for the person that was going to take over my room, and I can stay for another month.
Perfect.
And I was like, oh, universe.
See, it's all working out.
Like, it gave me a bone. And it was just another way for me to be like, okay, I trust you.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking care of me.
Unveiling perfectly.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, then just to have those chorus of women behind me, like, oh man, this is so exciting. The universe is taking care of you. Like, we can't wait to see. And like, something beautiful is going to come through. Even though I don't need that, because I already feel that, that yeah. extra support is very
nice. Huge. Everybody
really nice.
Loves that.
Yeah.
So tell us exactly the work you're doing in this magic dark, or how you're keeping strong during this magic dark.
Okay. I'm doing a lot of work. So for my attachment, I am doing a lot of work around that with relationships, because again, this has been, I mean, I've just been broken open by this, and I feel like I have a better understanding of me and my patterns and how I work and like why and brain chemistry and then how to heal from that and not live inside of those anymore. So I'm doing a lot of work with 12-step programs. I'm doing a lot of reading and researching to understand brain chemistry, how to change it. I'm working with a therapist who specializes in attachment theory to help me heal from anxious and move into earn secure, mm-hmm. which is what you can do. You don't have to stay in anxious attachment your whole life.
Great.
And then with the other stuff, like apartment and just like, I feel like both are kind of in this rock bottom. I'm doing rock bottom every day, and I'm doing DIs when I get triggered by anything. Anytime I feel doubt, anytime mm-hmm. I feel fear, anytime I feel like jealous of somebody, envy, anything, I'm just taking it through to like, where is this coming from? And
awesome.
Like, pull it down to the end. And then obviously I'm journaling a ton. I think the most important thing is I'm saying no to literally anything that does not serve me.
Perfect thing to be doing in your magic dark. Perfect
Even
thing.
When it's like, well, that could, no.
Yep. Good
if
job.
It's like any sort of that could work, no.
Awesome.
Like the hell yes has not come through. So I'm like, nope.
Great.
And I'm being very protective of my energy and who I'm allowing and my energy space.
So following rock bottom
yeah.
a lot. Fantastic.
Yeah. So,
amazing.
And that's been really helpful because it's keeping me very clear.
Awesome.
Like, I'm even saying no to doing activities that I don't want to do.
Perfect.
Like, no, I don't want to do that.
Great.
No. And it feels really nice. I'm like, okay, cool.
Oh,
I got it.
Let's pivot into the work you do with clients, because Amanda's the only person I've ever said, Amanda, do you want to, because she understands the formula so well.
Yeah.
She understands this process. She's been through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you want to apprentice? You know, basically you're the only person I would ever send people to, because you really get it. And now you're super specializing
yeah.
in relationships. You know, not manifestation's a little part of it, but it's also in attachments.
It's a lot of healing. Yeah.
Healing your wounds, mm-hmm. like really being able to be who you want to be with the person you want to be with.
Yes. That's
tell us about
exactly
that.
It. So nicely said. Thank you. First of all, I just have to say, you saying that is a manifestation. Being on this podcast
Yay!
Is a manifestation. So
thank
it's
you,
because
this
exciting.
Is going to help so many people. And also another note I just wanted to make, I forgot to make that earlier. If you're listening to this and you're like, I'm not in the relationship spectrum, everything you've talked about in this is applicable to anything people are calling in. If you're dealing
yeah.
with
oh, sure.
money, if you're dealing with career, it's all the
it's
same.
All the thing.
Your childhood wounds are playing out why you don't have what you want. Mm-hmm. You're going through the same process.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to this with the ears of exactly mm-hmm. what you're calling in, because
yeah,
it's
you can,
just as applicable.
Yeah, you can like narrow it down to whatever it is you're calling in. Because the same way that I'm approaching relationships and my apartment is the same way I'm approaching money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
exactly.
it's all the same. And like career.
It's energy. It's same energetics.
So when I started doing relationship coaching, I was just working with people on self-worth and raising their self-worth, and then getting them to do that through different kinds of like readings and homeworks and meditation, and then sort of helping them make better decisions as they moved into dating. I will say I've completely shifted that now. And now I'm working with people, and mostly people with anxious attachments are coming. I just think because they need the extra help and avoidance are less likely to come. Because they're like, I fucking got it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need anyone right. or anything.
Yeah, yeah, I am an island and yeah. I am fine. But I'm working with people. It's kind of a two-step process. So step one is, depending on where they are in their healing process, if they are like, don't even know what anxious attachment is or are unaware if they have it, that's going to be at the very beginning. And that's going to be a process of understanding what their attachment style is, how that works in their brain, how that's shown up in their life, the patterns that that has created for them, and then detoxing their brain chemistry. So, and going through withdrawal. And that's the hardest part because it's so uncomfortable. And that means, dun, 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 you have to stop dating and flirting and having sex with people for a period of time, depending on where you are in your healing journey, which I know is not fun, but it's such an important part of healing.
Great.
And I'm currently doing that work myself. Yeah. I'm on a 3-month hiatus to go through withdrawal and detox my brain chemistry and work on some deeper healing. And at first it sounds like, well, I want to meet someone, so why would I ever stop dating? But you will, if you continue the way you're going and you're in that unhealthy brain chemistry, you're in those unhealthy patterns, you will only continue to create the unavailable guy coming
completely.
To you. You will only be able to create the unfulfilling relationship, and you'll just get stuck deeper and deeper in those grooves of your brain, those brain synapses firing together, and the harder it will be to get out later.
Totally.
So it's like you might as well start now, get uncomfortable and like go through it. So that's kind of step one, is the beginning of that healing process and getting them to a point of being able to stand in their worth, being able to say no, even when they do feel triggered or mm-hmm. activated. And then step two is going to be calling in the healthy, secure partnership that they actually want. But there's a lot of step one mm-hmm. to get to step two.
And that's the only way to receive the step two that you want. So
yeah.
I love that. And so anybody who, because I don't do sessions anymore, if relationships are where you're wanting to focus,
yeah.
seek out Amanda. Where do we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at @XOAmandaBlair. And my website is amandablair.org. And you can find, there's a tab called offerings there, and you can book a session through that, or like DM me on Instagram and I can show you the way too. But yeah, it's really easy. Just email me, anything.
And at the end of the process, now I like to ask people to share any cool new wellnessy findings, like the one you told me about in the car last night.
Yes.
What are the coolest things you've been discovering
my new
lately?
Obsession. Okay, so I am sober and my sobriety is a huge part of me. But I do miss having something, a tool that I can use, you know, like a drink or anything to just kind of connect and open myself up a little bit more. I mean, I do that with meditation and other things, but sometimes it's nice to just have like a way to enhance that experience. So I recently found Kin Euphorics, which is a non-alcoholic beverage, and it's adaptogenic, it is botanicals, and it is nootropics, plant nootropics. And combined in this like wonderful, like hibiscus kind of flavored beverage. And you can make mocktails with it. I usually just do 2 ounces with soda water, but they have like all sort of fancy recipes that you can use. But what it does when you drink it, it opens your heart chakra.
Mm.
And that's always the area that I'm working to open mm-hmm. because
so everyone should be. Yeah.
Yeah. And these childhood wounds that I've talked about, the anxious attachment, whatever, my heart is actually quite closed
mm-hmm.
because it was so scary for me.
Totally.
To be open and to be that fear of
being
hurt.
I think most people on the planet,
yeah.
unless you're like hyper yogic and
totally. So it really helps me open that area and just feel so loving. And it's, they call it like a rise, but it's very grounded. So you don't feel buzz like you do from alcohol, but you do feel a lift in your heart and in your capacity for like love and connection. So it's really cool. And I'm so into it. It's my favorite new thing. I'm getting all my friends into it as well.
So. Anything else? What else?
Let's see what else. I think that's really it. I think that and magnetic village meetups are my new favorite wellness activities. And actually, magnetic village meetups have been huge for my wellness because, again, I'm meeting women who do the work that I do, who are supporting me in that work and who are showing up authentically and then inviting me to show up authentically totally. And like calling me out if I'm not.
Amazing.
I think that's so important to have community around that. And also Dharma Talks are Dharma Punks in Greenpoint, where is a meditation. And then the leader, Josh, gives a talk on neuroscience and psychology.
Amazing.
In relation to Buddhism.
Wow.
It's the coolest thing.
I have to come when I come
so
to
New much.
York.
Yeah, you definitely have to. I'm learning so much. And then it's so fun to meditate for 30 minutes in a room full of people.
Yeah, such great exchange energy. That's amazing. Yeah.
So those are kind of like my wellness.
So the drink
tools.
Is Kin.
Yeah, Kin Euphorics.
Kin Euphorics. Mm-hmm. We have Dharma Talks for people who are based in New York or traveling there. Go check those out.
Yes.
And then most importantly, especially, I really want to get everybody doing this around the unblocked full moon. We're going to do an unblocked new moon too, because it's a little bit different.
So.
Yeah, than what people all celebrate and what's out there. But the unblocked full moon is like the best time to do these villages. Mm-hmm. So to coincide, and when you enter and join the pathway, we have like a little tab that you click to see and find where your local village is that you can go and meet up with people. But these are so huge and powerful.
They're huge.
Anyone's, I try to visit the ones when I travel to places if they're happening at that time.
Yeah.
But go meet up with your group, even if you're shy and you're scared. It's such a supportive and awesome community. And
I've met so many
powerful.
Great women.
And it's eclectic. Like so many different
so
types
many different
of people.
Women, so many different women doing different things.
And men, get in there. Dude, we have so many guys now
that
are like…
We would love to have men in there.
Are guys allowed at this stuff?
Of
Do
course.
It. Yes, everywhere. We want everybody.
How expanding to meet authentic men showing up and doing this work.
Oh, how expanding.
Like,
that's incredible.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I want that for everybody.
Thank you for being with us today, Amanda.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you for sharing. And keep tuning into the process. I think this is actually instrumentally helpful. I don't care what age you are, what you're calling in. Listening to anybody's process is applicable to whatever you're calling in. It just shows you that the energetics are the same and helps you realize your patterns, your pings, your everything through them. So have a great weekend.